Are you stirred up and charged up? Kind of sounds like a little dead batteries in here. We got to get a little bit more excited. But in reality, even through all the service, even when we prayed this morning, and I was praying on the way to church, I felt like the Lord was wanting to do something in your hearts today. That this wasn't a mind message, but really an encounter with the Lord in your heart. And it's so easy to encounter people and just talk about whatever. But do you ever have a relationship or a conversation where you're like, well, that was a heart to heart? No one? Okay, you have, this is a heart to heart with the Lord today. And I really believe that there is an open heaven in this space. That there's an overflow into your hearts. Like there's something that's different that can happen today. Amen. So put your hand on your heart. Come with great expectation to the Lord this morning. That he would have a heart to heart with you. That you would feel the divine presence of the Lord. That there would be an overflow into your life today. That would cause the Spirit of the living God to minister to your heart in such a way that would saturate you with truth. That would saturate you with peace. That you would be so full of faith and alive in the kingdom. God, we call upon the name of Jesus and we ask that you would do a heart-to-heart work in us. That you would affect it in such a powerful and transformational way. Because there is no one like our God. And we thank you for what you're doing in this house in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit changes you. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, we're here this morning to hear your voice and to be changed by you. Amen.
Amen.
Mark Batterson said, if you take the Holy Spirit out of my life, you have boring. It's spelled B-O-R-I-N-G, boring. But if you add him to the equation of my life, you can anything can happen. Amen. But without the Holy Spirit, what we have is simply not enough. That's probably what the conclusion of the disciples reached when they heard Jesus tell them in Acts 1, 4, and 5. So don't leave Jerusalem, guys. I want you to wait here until you receive the gift I have for you. I'm going to give you the gift that the Father promised. I'm going to go and get the gift. I'm going to release it to you. And you, not very many days from now, you're going to be baptized, flooded, filled with, overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit. He's an overwhelming kind of guy. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And it happens every day. Someone's filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes with power. He comes with power and he changes us. I mean, just a few weeks before, they had seen their Messiah crucified. They'd taken him down from the cross. They buried him. Everything seemed lost. Everything was hopeless. And then Sunday came. And Jesus rose. Jesus rose. The stone was rolled away. Talk about a game changer. If this was possible, then anything was possible. People don't just come back from the dead. But Jesus did. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. In Acts 1:3 it says, and he presented himself alive after his suffering with many infallible proofs. Jesus is alive.
Amen.
He's alive today. Hallelujah. And during that next 40 days, Jesus began to present to his disciples the unfolding of his plan. His mission was for them to take the message of the gospel to the whole world, to every nation. It says in the Great Commission, go make disciples of every nation, to each and every person. They were to be invited into a personal relationship with God. Can you imagine the challenge that Jesus gave his disciples? It was the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. None of them had traveled very far. None of them had been, I mean, it was an era of limited technology. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have anything. They didn't even have the Pony Express. But Jesus expected them to take over the world. And guess what? Just after he told them he wanted to do all this, he wanted them to do all this, he left. He left. It says in Acts, he was taken up in a cloud and received out of their sight. He left. Ooh, that was it. Now it was left up to them. Except for the gift of the Holy Spirit. What we have in our lives without the power of the Holy Spirit is nothing. The Holy Spirit, without Him, what we have is simply not enough. But with Him, we have power. The Holy Spirit is enough. All the time, always, ever. Everybody faces challenges. Everybody faces problems. We all kinds of things we can talk about, depressing circumstances, things that are too hard, things we can't seem to break, needs we can't meet, all kinds of things. And God knows that you're inadequate. Say, I'm inadequate. Now the rest of you say, I'm inadequate. Thank you. And your inadequacy doesn't surprise God at all. It doesn't shake His confidence in you. It doesn't change His plans for your life. It doesn't limit Him and what He can do in and through you. Your inadequacy. But our self-dependency is an enemy of the supernatural life. The life that God has in mind for you. Supernatural life. That's what God. What happens when God gets involved with people that are willing to trust Him. I want to take a minute and look at the life of Peter. Just a couple things to see how the Holy Spirit transforms someone. In his life, it serves as a picture for us of what God can do. There's probably no better moment that defines Peter than the moment he promised Jesus his undying loyalty. It was just after the Last Supper. Jesus predicted that everyone would fall away, and Peter stands up and he says, even if everyone is made to stumble, I will not. I will never be made to stumble. And then a couple verses later he says, if I have to die for you, I will not deny you. And then he did. He made those promises probably out of a sincere heart. He meant what he said, but he just wasn't strong enough. Because when the moment of truth came, Peter denied knowing Jesus not once, but three times. There's so many times that Peter demonstrated his inability. One minute he's walking on the water with Jesus, and the next minute he's sinking in the waves. One minute he's making the greatest confession, Jesus, your Lord. And the next minute he's rebuking Jesus to his face for even considering the mission of dying on a cross. One minute he's standing up boldly in the Garden of Gethsemane, cuts off a servant's ear. And the next minute he's calling down curses on himself while he denies ever knowing Jesus. I appreciate Peter because I see myself in him sometimes. He meant well. He even did well from time to time. But then he failed. And the Bible tells us that when Peter uttered his third denial, he looked up and saw Jesus. I don't know what Jesus looked like at that moment, but I'm sure that Peter read the sadness in his eyes, because they both remembered that Jesus had said, when the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And because of that, it said, Peter went out and wept bitterly. Uncontrollable sobs, gut-wrenching groans, everything seemed to be over. Nothing had meaning. Never, ever would he have imagined he would do this. And he was kind of like Judas, but not exactly, because Judas also failed the Lord, and he betrayed him. But Peter decided to move on from that moment, and Judas did not. Judas felt there's no hope for life anymore, and he hanged himself. But Peter somehow pushed past that despair, that heart-rending place, and said, there's got to be something else. I'm I might be face to face right now with my inadequacy, but Jesus will help me. I can't imagine how Peter was feeling at that moment. Fact is, he said, I'm getting out of here, I'm going to go fishing. And he took the guys with him. His confidence was shaken, even so much that when he met the resurrected Christ and Jesus asked him, Peter, do you love me? It was all Peter could do to say, yes, yes, Lord, yes, you know I love you. Can you imagine the great loss it would have been to the church if Peter had stayed there in that despair? But Jesus forgave him. Jesus brought restoration to him. Jesus assured him that his life wasn't over. He had a purpose for him and a plan for his life. It could have been the very end of Peter's life when he was weeping in the garden. But Jesus brought restoration. Peter was forgiven. He was restored. He had a future, he had a hope. But that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. God couldn't use Peter in Jerusalem the way he wanted to until Peter received the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness was critical to his calling, but it wasn't enough. Restoration was critical, but it wasn't enough. He needed to be infused with the power of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit changed Peter's life. It changed him. Acts chapter 2, we read the story goes on with Peter, and he was in the upper room, you know that. He was there with 120 people, and they were all praying and waiting to see what God was going to do, because Jesus had told them, wait in Jerusalem, don't leave, I'm going to send a gift to you. It's the promise of my Father. They didn't exactly know what he was going to send. But along with all the others in the room, Peter heard the sound of that rushing mighty wind. And he saw the huge fire that came into the room and split apart and set on each one of them, 120 of them. And his Holy Spirit so filled them, so impacted their lives, they began to speak out in loud voices and tongues. Peter was right there in the middle of them as they were being filled to overflowing. And so loud was the commotion and the noise from that room that it drew a crowd of 3,000 people around them. And then Peter stood up. Now this is the man who had failed Jesus and who had denied him, who then went and hid in a room with locked doors because the religious Pharisees were looking for him, thought they were going to kill him. But now, in the middle of the crowd, in the same place that Jesus was crucified, probably not a mile from that place, Peter stands up and he addresses the crowd. In front of several thousand people. And he declared to them that Jesus is alive. He's alive. Peter was risking his life by taking a stand that day. But because Jesus baptized him with the Holy Spirit, because he had been endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, he had the strength and the courage to take that stand and to do what was not possible for him to do before. The Holy Spirit is not just a sideline in your life. He's not here to be a silent observer and say, I wonder what they're doing now. And receiving him is not just another notch in your spiritual belt. So I've got that. Okay, what's next? He comes to be the main line of power, the unlimited power in your life. He wants to be the power of your life. He wants to bring change. He wants to be the leader. Wow. It's like Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And when the branches, it's interesting, you take a dead branch and connect it, that's what you were, a dead branch. Just so you know. When you connect that to the vine, the power of the Holy Spirit so flows into you that something is ignited within you that changes everything. You're not just saved from the consequences of your sin and all of that. You're not just made righteous in the sight of God. A new reality comes into effect in your life. The power of the Holy Spirit comes. He wants to so envelop you. He wants to so clothe you with His power that you don't look the same anymore. You don't feel the same anymore. You don't act the same anymore. You don't speak the same anymore. You're changed. And God's power, released by His Holy Spirit, brings supernatural life to you. Peter's life is an example for us to follow. Because if you look at these in chapters and chapters and chapters of Acts, Peter was baptized in the Holy Spirit in chapter 2. And he preached with great power. 3,000 people were saved in one day. In Acts chapter 3, he prays for a crippled man who was healed. In Acts chapter 4, he speaks boldly on the trial in front of the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees in the same court that so terrified him just a few days before. In Acts chapter 5, mighty miracles happen. And so much so that the shadow of Peter passing over someone sick brought healing. That's amazing. In Acts chapter 9, he prays for a crippled man who begins to walk. In Acts chapter 9, later on, he prays for a dead woman who comes back to life. Acts chapter 10, he receives a vision during prayer that the Gentiles can come into the kingdom. And then he preaches to them. And guess what? They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 12, God sends an angel to deliver him from prison for preaching about Jesus. All through the book of Acts, Peter is shown to be different than he was before. He might have been the same guy to look at as the one who denied Jesus. He might have been inconsistent, inconvective, and ineffective in himself. But when the Holy Spirit came on Peter, he was transformed into a man who was powerful, confident, and assured, filled with joy. Hallelujah. You can't overestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in Peter's life. You can't. He was never the same after he was baptized in the Spirit. What he had before Acts 2 wasn't enough. He needed more. He needed to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. God took him from being ordinary and inconsistent, and he transformed him into someone who was supernatural, who stepped into supernatural miracles in his life. He affected the entire world by his testimony. And that's the will of God for your life. You're no different than Peter. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to do miracles. What you have today in yourself is not enough. But the power of the Holy Spirit is enough. It is enough. And God has called us to be filled with His Spirit. His plan for us is to do more than just survive another week. If I could just make it till Friday. No, not what God wants. He wants to use you to do the supernatural. That means, they raise your hand. Everybody with their hand raised, you're a candidate to be used by God for the supernatural. What you have been doesn't have to determine what you will be. He wants the Holy Spirit to be so manifest and released in your life that supernatural things happen. Because your past doesn't define your future. Doesn't define your potential. What you are in yourself, it's not enough. See, it's not enough. It's not enough. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need His power. You need His power. He provides all the power you need for your life, and His power is more than enough. I like what Jack Hayford said. He said, God gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yet when the Spirit comes, He is loaded with packages. He desires to release much more in us and through us than we could ever imagine. These gifts are given for delivery, not for storage. We receive them to pass them on to others. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit adds power. He adds life. He is enough. Jesus said in John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Now the Greek word for helper is paraclete. And paraclete, yeah, it's kind of like parachute, only it's paraclete. The best way to define this word is to give you a contrast, okay? You understand what the word parasite means? It's like a worm that gets in you and or something. Yeah, it's gross. That's a living entity that attaches to yourself and it sucks the life out of you. That's not even fun to think about. In contrast, paraclete is a living entity that attaches his life to yours and provides power and life and strength. The Holy Spirit strengthens you. He infuses his thoughts into you. He releases his emotions to you, joy, peace, patience, kindness, love. He shares his power with you. He gives you what you need at the moment you need it. The Holy Spirit brings strength to you. He infuses everything you need into you. Smith Wigglesworth said, if that's what the Bible says, then it's so. It doesn't even have to be prayed about. You just receive it and act upon it. Inactivity is a robber which steals blessings. Increase comes by action, by using what we have and what we know. Your life must be one of going from faith to faith, believing what God says is true. Jesus said the gift he was giving, the Holy Spirit, he would bring his power into us. The Greek word in power in that verse is dunamis. You know what that means, right? I mean, it's dynamite in English. Wow. It's an explosive release of the power of the Holy Spirit in and through your life. Explosive release. Not just, oh, who is that? But an explosion of his power in your life. I want to share a story, or parts of it anyway, about a man named Johannes Amritz. I read, and it was really exciting because he says, I grew up and I was fighting for my life. And I ended up in drugs and alcohol and sex and everything was going bad. And then one day, my brother became a Christian. Well, and he invited me to church. I didn't go. I thought, he lost his mind. And I consistently let him know about it. But he says, after refusing to attend church many times, one Sunday, I finally showed up. And during that service, the first time I was in church, I sensed the presence of God. And before the day was over, I gave my life to Christ. And shortly after that moment, a youth leader explained to me about the Holy Spirit. And he shared about that the Holy Spirit would enable God to use me in a supernatural way. So I prayed right there. Right then, and I experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life. And out of my lips came a release of power and praise. Everything was changed. No one could have predicted the degree which Jonas would be used by God. Within a year, he was preaching on the streets throughout Sweden and Poland and Germany, Czech Republic, with Teen Challenge, youth rehab ministries. I was reaching the very people that I used to be friends with. The gift of evangelism was so obvious on his life, and the Holy Spirit was using him to prove that Jesus is alive and active in a world that needed to be rescued. One of my favorite parts of the story was Jonas told about a miracle that happened. He said, I was in a festival in Bulgaria. A crippled Muslim woman was attending the festival. For the first time, she heard about Jesus, who he is, and that he had come to earth on a mission to save us. She heard how he died on the cross, how he rose from the dead, and how he is healing people right there in Bulgaria. Jonas explained, she had been crippled for so long that all the muscles in her legs were atrophied. They hung from her body like spaghetti strands, limp, skinny, damaged legs. Yuck. Her Muslim friends lifted her out of the wheelchair and threw her on the platform. Said, heal her if you can. But I saw in her eyes faith to be healed. All of a sudden, I felt a rush of faith within me. The Holy Spirit was shouting to me that he was going to heal her. So before I knew it, I picked her up, held her up under her arms, and I heard myself saying, I will not let go of you until you walk. As soon as I said it, I thought to myself, that's crazy. What are you saying? Now you're really on the spot. What if nothing happens? How long can you hold this woman up in front of this crowd of people? But I felt the prompting to say it again. And so I repeated it. I will not let you go until you walk. And then all of a sudden, the woman put her feet on the ground and began to take steps. Her legs were so weak she couldn't walk without wobbling and without support. But as she stepped out in faith, her legs grew stronger until she could walk. She was totally healed. Right before the eyes of that Aslimic crowd, Jesus showed himself to be alive that day. Someone said, how is that possible? And he said, for me, the journey into the supernatural began with the Holy Spirit. When I received him, everything became possible. That's what's so amazing about God's plan. His Holy Spirit isn't just for super Christians who travel the world, speak it, whatever. It's for every believer. The Holy Spirit is for every believer. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit is for... Thank you. It's for you. I love how Jonas put it in the last sentence. He said, when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, God dresses you in the fire clothes of Jesus. I like that. You walk around wearing the fiery power of God in your life. And just like Jesus performed supernatural acts during his life through the power of the Holy Spirit, so you can participate in the supernatural with God because the Holy Spirit is in you. Even though Jesus went to heaven, he's no longer physically present. He left behind his fire clothes for you, every one of you. He wants to clothe you with power. In Luke 3:16, it says, the last phrase of the verse, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's what Jesus does. He brings his Holy Spirit into us and he puts his fire clothes on us. And we walk in the explosiveness of the Holy Spirit. But you can't just treat him like a silent partner, someone can come along behind. He wants to be the leader. He wants to be the leader. So are you ready? Amen. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you. He wants to empower you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to refresh you. He wants to bring supernatural life into you. He wants to expand your capacity to receive his love and demonstrate it to others. He wants to move in his power in you. He wants to take you higher and higher into the depths of God. A life surrendered to him will change the world forever. So let's stand. Let's just pray for a moment. Maybe you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. Maybe you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to say, Lord, you're moving from back seat to front seat. You're going to be the leader from now on. You're moving from being a side thing to being the main thing in my life. Just take a moment. Close your eyes and just say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit today. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit today. Afresh and anew. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we want to keep on being filled with your Spirit every day. We want a fresh filling of your Spirit. Fill us fresh today, Lord. Fill us for the first time or fill us again. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can walk in the explosive power of your Holy Spirit. We praise you and thank you. So now, every morning, just pray this simple prayer, Lord, take the lead today. Move through me. Use me. Show yourself strong in my life. And then be ready to follow his lead. Right? Amen. Amen. If you need more prayer, you want more prayer for the Holy Spirit, there'll be people up here to pray with you and come up. But put your hand in your heart today. The Lord, the great I am, the King of Kings, the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, the one who is always present with us, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Go in the power of his Holy Spirit today.